two dozen federal employees will form a group advising the president on possible changes to the senior executive service. The White House wants advice on improving how the government recruits, hires, develops, and retains SES members. John Bennison is the Equal Employment Opportunity Director at Housing and Urban Development and a member of the president's advisory group. He joins me now with an early morning report. John, good morning. Thanks to have you on.
Hey, Tom. Good morning. It's great to be with you.
All right. So you are an SES member, correct?
Yes, I am.
And I guess I'd like to start by asking, do you like your job and do you like working for the federal government?
I love my job. I have been a federal employee since 1993. I actually started working on Capitol Hill and then joined the executive branch in 1995 and have risen through the ranks. And being a public servant is one of the greatest honors that I've had in my life. And I really enjoy being an EEO director because I get to see a direct impact that I have on people's lives in terms of fostering diversity and inclusion in the workplace and resolving issues early and at the lowest possible level.
All right. Well stated. And so how long have you been in the SES part of this?
I've been a member of the SES since 2013.
All right. So you had a good 17 or so year run and then got up to the very highest ranks. And so how did you end up, do you think, on this advisory committee?
I think it was a number of things. In my organization at HUD in the past year, we've significantly improved our EVS scores. We're the most improved organization on 24 of the questions in the employee viewpoint survey. Also, we've improved employee engagement within the organization. In addition, in the time that I've been here at HUD since 2013, my team and I have really worked hard to transform our EEO program. Prior to my tenure, we were largely a complaints-driven program, and now we're a more proactive program where we focus on resolving disputes early, and we also focus on improving the diversity and inclusion in our workplace, because we believe that our organization, our agency, serves all Americans, and the best way to serve all Americans is to ensure that all communities are represented in our workforce at every level.
And later in this hour, by the way, we'll be hearing from your new Deputy Secretary, Nani Color. Already, who I think is your partner in this whole effort there toward inclusion and diversity and so forth, and bringing some of those people up through the ranks, eventually in their careers. And so there's been a couple of meetings. There's been one meeting of the advisory group, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And what happened there? How did it go? Did you all kind of sing Kumbaya?
Well, if I could just share with you that this was the greatest honor of my career to be able to, I had the good fortune of being seated directly across from the President of the United States, and I was one of several members who had the opportunity to brief the President on some of our initial ideas with respect to reforming the senior executive service. And so that was an incredible honor for me and for everyone in the room. I think it was just this amazing experience where our morale was boosted and we felt encouraged. The president told us to be bold and aggressive in our ideas, and we left there knowing we had his full support and engagement on this issue. And if I may, I'd just like to briefly share a personal story. I was born with a severe vision disability and have had this disability my entire life, and I, as a result, I faced my share of attitudinal barriers. I've had teachers who didn't want to teach me, colleges that didn't want to admit me, employers who didn't want to hire me, all based solely on the fact that I had a vision impairment, individuals who didn't look at my intelligence or my abilities. And, I left the White House that day and I thought, I'd love to go back and call some of these individuals who really judged me just based on my vision disability and ask them if they've ever had the opportunity to brief the President of the United States. So it was a great professional moment for all of us in the room, and I hope you don't mind that I shared that personal moment, but it was a great personal moment for me as well.
No, I think that's a great story. And I was actually, as an aside question, I was wondering, what sort of adaptive technology that might help you in the job with respect to the sight impairment?
So what I use is a program called Zoom Text that enables me to enhance what's on my computer screen up to about 16 times the normal size. It also has a screen reading function. As you can imagine, as an SES, I have long days. So by the end of the day, my eyes are very tired. So a lot of times I use the screen reading function towards the end of the day. And then Apple technology is great, too. Our agency has provided me with an iPad, you know, a BlackBerry or a cell phone in terms of emails would be too difficult to see, but using the iPad, I can enlarge what's on the screen there as well, and that's been great technology.
All right, so getting back to the advisory board there, the advisory group, what's your sense of what they will tackle first when they get down to real business?
So I think really what we're looking at first is what are the systems and processes that support the SES that we can reform, that we can develop meaningful reform recommendations on. And as we focus on those systems and processes, what can we do that doesn't require legislative change? You know, what can be done through executive action? And I think those are the initial general issues that we're looking at. I would say specifically from my perspective and the subcommittees that I'm working with, we're very concerned with succession planning, ensuring that we continue to build a strong leadership cadre and that we have a strong leadership cadre in the future. Mobility, really building an infrastructure that supports mobility. As you may know, the SES is intended to be, was intended to be a mobile leadership cadre, that we should be able to go into different organizations and lead them regardless of technical skill. And so bringing back some of the original intention of mobility. And then finally, really looking at recognition and how do we significantly recognize executives that in a way that will help us to retain our strongest, most talented, and dedicated individuals.
We're speaking with John Bennison. He's director of the Office of Departmental Equal Employment Opportunity at HUD and a member of the President's Advisory Group on the SES, the Senior Executive Service. Now, in the job you have, that tends to be a skill that is more portable, say, than if you were a nuclear engineer or somebody, you know, it's highly specialized type of work. And so how do you reconcile those two things? Because you could go into any agency and do EEO work, whereas if you're highly specialized, you're kind of stuck in that particular vertical.
And that's true, and I think that's an important point that we're looking at. I mean, there are some positions like mine and chief human capital officer positions and chief financial officer positions. You could move from agency to agency pretty easily. But the individuals with more specialized technical skills, it might not be appropriate for them to move around into different types of positions. And I think those are all issues that we're looking at and considering. And in no way, I think, is anyone in the group thinking we're going to set up some rigid process that requires everyone to move, but really, you know, looking at it in a more nuanced way.
But mobility is definitely part of the agenda here, though, safe to say.
I think it's safe to say that, yes.
And so what are some of the other issues, say, with respect to people that might be in place for in one agency for a while and might want to be? What can be done to enhance their SES experience?
Yeah, I think really what it comes down to is looking at ways to develop rotational programs that give opportunities for individuals to move around if they want to have a chance to do something else to enhance their executive experience and their career overall. And I think, you know, going back to what I was saying about succession planning, I think it's important for agencies to a lot of times we don't want to let our most talented people go, right? It's hard to think about, oh, someone wants to go on a 6-month rotation. But that could also, if someone goes on a rotation, that could be an opportunity for an aspiring SES, someone at the GS-15 level, to rotate into the position that's being vacated so that they can get some development. And I think we really need to dedicate ourselves both to allowing mobility of the current SES cadre and providing development opportunities for future leaders.
And do you think the group will be looking at the interface between senior executives and political appointees? Because that's often a friction point, or it can also be a point of great joy, depending on who your particular political happens to be.
Right. We are looking at that. And I think that that's an important point. And I think when friction occurs, it's not necessarily because of personality conflicts or because one group thinks the other is smarter. I think it's really about the time horizon. You know, political appointees are here for generally a short period of time, and they have a lot that they need to accomplish in the time that they're working with an agency. And those of us in the career SES, obviously, we're here for the long haul. And I think it's really about understanding the different roles that those of us in the career SES are here to support the agenda of the political appointees, but also to achieve the mission of the agency in the long term. And I think, you know, one thing we're looking at is developing a training for both groups on working together and supporting each other in particular roles.
All right. So getting to the functions and operations of the Advisory Council itself, what happens next and how will you roll up all your ideas? In what form will they eventually take?
Well, you know, what we're doing is we're meeting via subcommittee on the four topic areas: recruitment, hiring, retention, and restoring value to public service. And it's interesting because when we first developed the subcommittee structure, we thought we'd be meeting on a monthly basis, but it's really evolved to weekly and sometimes meetings a couple times a week, which I think really speaks to the dedication of everybody on the group, because obviously we all have very busy schedules. And we're really working in a substantive way to develop ideas that will reform the SES in these critical areas. We're partnering with the Presidential Personnel Office, with OMB, OPM, as well as the pilot agencies in these areas, and just trying to develop strategies around reform. In terms of a timetable and deliverables, you know, I think we are looking towards the summer when the pilots will be evaluated, and then looking at what worked well and possibly developing some recommendations from there, as well as the research of the subcommittees and the different discussions we've had around reform ideas.
All right. Well, we'll have to have you back when there's a little bit more progress and some of this takes shape. In the meantime, John Bennison is Director of the Office of Departmental Equal Employment Opportunity at HUD and a member of the President's Advisory Council on the SES. Thanks so much for joining me.
Tom, thanks for the opportunity to speak with you.